Okay, welcome back. So you made it through episode one, and you are obviously here for episode two. So let's get right into it. I'm Alicia. I'm a mother. I'm a Black woman. I'm intelligent. I love to travel. I'm beautiful, and I speak my truth. That's right. I speak my truth. So diving into this episode, high value and hypergamy. And this is not a new term. I know some of you may have looked at the episode list and it's like, what the hell is that? And you Googled it and you're like, ooh, I want to know more. But in a nutshell, hypergamy is not dating broke, dating up. It is about dating up into the next kind of social class or economic class. And it's something that women have been doing for ages, white women, or I should say, as most African-American and even in some Latina households, I can better just women of color. We're not taught to date strategically. We are not taught to date and look for things that we should apply our worth to, like men who add value to it, or looking at our own value and seeing who we should be applying that to. So when I say that, it's dating up, okay? So it's like, obviously, I know you're not broke, you're not bummy. Like, that's what we're not. But the type of men that I'm talking about, they don't necessarily have to be rich men, but men that I was not used to seeing in my neighborhood, men who wear suits, educated, men who don't have time for games. Notice I'm not saying niggas. So when you think hypergamy, Google Marjorie Harvey. So Steve Harvey's wife, she is very vocal about hypergamous lifestyles. And what that is the finer things. Black women and some women of color, but I can definitely speak for myself. A lot of us are conditioned to stray away from things like being a hypergamous woman or kind of dating up. They call it being a gold digger, or they call it being a kept woman. So if you're having a hard time picturing this, think Tony Childs if you ever watched Girlfriends. Think Regine if you've watched Living Single. So think about women who we probably misjudged initially. And it's like, she's a gold digger. This is all she wants. But then when you look at other characters and girlfriends, like William's girlfriend, Monica, she was the perfect definition of, I know what I want. I am going to move and find a relationship, you know, that's strategic. I know I have value that I can add to a man, and I need someone who's on a track to be where I want them to be. So she would say, like, I deserve to be with a senior partner of a law firm. So Monica was well connected. She knew William was on his way to becoming a senior partner, and she wanted to help him get there. So what they were lacking, however, was the love. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people would look at that and think that that is just the full-on example. So being a hypergamous woman doesn't mean that you're finding a mate for you that treats you like shit. No, but if you are, and if you are teaching yourself that you are a woman of worth, why would you waste it on a dusty, on a broke dude? In my 20s, all I dated was men that I took care of, like, oddly enough, I had a conversation. So my son's father, he, if you may or may not know, is just not very active. But I find it very interesting whenever he gets a new partner that they do more reaching out to me than he does. And like, they would say things to me like, you know, I had to get on his ass about not reaching out to his son. And then in the back of my mind, I'm like, dang, you would want to be with somebody like that, that, you know, don't take care of their kids. Like, what turns you on about that? Like, I should not have to tell another adult, a grown man, to take care of the responsibilities in his life. And at that moment, in that moment, it wasn't me being judgmental, but it was a moment of myself being kind of proud that my mindset has shifted to want more for myself. So why should we be ashamed of wanting men that have something? That doesn't mean so. And then a lot of another point that people kind of gloss over is, it doesn't mean that the woman doesn't have shit for herself. So just because a woman is looking for a man with substance, does that mean that she's a bum, that she's broke? Like, you know what I mean? So it's, that's not the case. you know, if I know that I am a talented woman, I'm ambitious, I'm progressive, I'm beautiful, I'm well connected, I can speak multiple languages, I can add a lot, I could cook, I can add a lot of value to someone. So why would I waste my time with somebody that can't do shit for me? So I want you to muddle on that a little bit. So with that, you know, this whole notion of hypergamy, and I want to talk, spend a little bit of time of why we also, not only did we misjudge Tony Childs, and we also misjudged Lori Harvey a bit. So if you can remember, if you don't know who Lori Harvey is, that's Steve Harvey, Marjorie Harvey's daughter. She's 22, 23, did a lot of dating. And then the biggest thing that stuck was her being, spending some time with Diddy. And people are like, oh my gosh, she's a hoe, she's this and that. First of all, she's in her 20s. Are you not supposed to date? Second of all, Lori Harvey isn't some average 22-year-old. That's Lori Harvey. So for her to be in circles with Diddy and Future and whoever, that's typical. It's not typical for us, you know, us average Joes. Like, we're not celebrities, you know. So then I also want to kind of throw out there, I should have said this in the beginning, this episode is not for you women who are out there. This episode totally contradicts the independent woman mindset. So if you're here and you're one of those, feel free to continue listening, but also know that everything that I'm going to talk about is going to completely disagree with the independent lifestyle. So the question is, why do we criticize? So why did women jumped on her case, calling her a hoe, this and that, and it's disgusting because she's younger? When all actuality, if you really stop and look at rich men, older men, a lot of their wives are younger. Why? Because men are just as afraid of dying as we are, and that newness, that youthfulness, to them, that's normal for rich men. That's typical. It's, you know, a part of the lifestyle, which is why a lot of those women and wives take a lot of time to invest in how they look, how they appear, how they act. You can also think Kelly Pitts and Jason, even though he was horribly controlling with money, the way that she was supportive to him, that she looked good, she kept herself up, that is not uncommon of, you know, a lot of rich and hypergamous type of lifestyle. So that's not uncommon. And then think about it as women. What women, and I'm really speaking my truth here, and you can disagree with me all you want to, but what woman wants to see another woman lavished with gifts, especially one that doesn't love themselves? So a lot of women secretly hate that they aren't in tune with this lifestyle, or they can't access this lifestyle, because we've been groomed not to think about status. We've been groomed not to think about money. We've been told that we need to marry for love, and it's an afterthought, and money will come. But for me, love is not enough. It's definitely not enough. I gave broke men the best years of my life, and the sooner that we can tap into our feminine energy and our market value, the better. And I say market because we need to be treating dating and relationships like a job. So some women I know, they'll start dating someone and then they'll just put all their eggs in one basket. You need to explore your options. You need to see what's out there, see what you like, see what you don't like, and really use that feminine energy to exact the things that you need to find out. So what does that mean? How is a hypergamous woman? How should I move? How am I acting? If you are trying to tap into your feminine energy, you need to right now erase that I don't need a man or I don't need a partner notion, because this is not going to be for you. So hypergamous men, and I have definitely dated men of stature, and they definitely want you to be a certain way, very feminine, very old school, some very traditional, because they don't have time for the bullshit. Like, a broke man will go back and forth with you just about stupid stuff, but a rich man, he's not going to go for that bullshit. So the first thing or trait of a hypergamous woman is not having an attitude and not being confrontational. I know a lot of women who take pride in saying, I'm not friendly, I got an attitude, I'm somebody that's not going to listen. Well, you don't want the type of man that I see you say. A lot of women say, like, I'm tired of dating with bums. I'm tired of dating with, like, That's too much masculine energy that you're wasting on those bums. You have to tone that down if you even want to step into a circle with the realm of a high value man. These are men who have their shit together, okay? Ain't none of that petty, why you posting on Facebook, because a lot of men of value don't have social media. So any man that I've dated who was high value did not have social media. They didn't want me posting on social media all the time because our business is our business. Now, you might be thinking like, oh, that's because they got other women. Sometimes, and this is a totally different episode, it's the next episode about monogamy, but a lot of high-valued men don't, if they're dating you, they're not going to be dating just you. Now, this isn't talking about marriage. I'm only talking about dating, so I can't speak from a marital aspect, but a lot of women aren't comfortable with that you're not going to be the only one that men are dating. So this is why I say you need to also not put your eggs in one basket. You need to find some time, do things with yourself, because here's the next thing. A lot of people disagree with Chloe saying that she doesn't like her man too available. Chloe is a high valued woman. She got shit to do and she needs her man to have shit to do. And I feel the same way. Like, if you don't have nothing to do and you calling me all day and you getting mad when I'm not available, like, let me wonder sometimes. Like, if I call my man and he's not answering the phone, I'm not going to jump down his case. I'm not going to jump. Well, why you not answering the phone? That man probably out doing something. Because I don't want to be blown up all day either. So I agreed with her in that. Another thing is, along with not having an attitude, not confrontational, those are very masculine qualities. Arguing. Why are you arguing with me? Why are you having an attitude with me? You are a grown woman. You can talk these things out with me. So all of that, not listening, that is not a trait of a hypergamous woman. You really need to tone that down and really just kind of grow in tune with your emotions. Learn how to become emotionally secure. So just like you shouldn't be insecure about how you look, which is another point, you shouldn't be emotionally insecure. Throwing tantrums, arguing in public, all of that, that's an absolute no-no. If you are a woman of value, a woman of substance, women of substance don't go around acting like that, okay? Another thing, value or a trait of a hypergamous woman is looking good. Do you see celebrities? Nah, they're going to look good. Like, not even celebrities. Women, you see pastors' wives. Any man of status, their woman is going to be looking good just like them, because that's part of the package. It's part of the lifestyle. If I'm of high value, my woman is of high value as well. So investing in looking good. Self-care, you know, smiling. Like, don't nobody want somebody that look frumpy. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't be yourself in the house, but when you're out and you're together, you need to represent him well, because he's representing you well. So investing in how you look. Don't be going out with tennis shoes on and nails all chipped and just not caring about your personal appearance. Another one is women need to start a hypergamous woman. They're comfortable with being provided for and protected. They're comfortable with not having to punch a clock, because I hate working. I don't ever want to punch a clock. Like, I am okay with being taken care of. So a lot of women aren't comfortable with that, because we've been taught to secure the bag on our own, be independent. Nobody's going to get it for you. Don't depend on no man, this and this and that. And it's like, that does not work with a hypergamous lifestyle. You have to be confident that you are going to be provided for, and you have to make the correct selection. Finally, being progressive. So a lot of us are kind of stuck or just kind of against any new ideas. Hence the topic of this season, where I always kind of felt like I didn't fit into molds. And it's like, I knew I wanted a relationship. I knew I eventually wanted to get married, but I know that I enjoy a certain type of lifestyle. Like, I want to be taken care of. Like, I take care of myself, but why should I have to waste my time on people that can't do shit for me? I know I have a lot to add to someone, so why should I have to either waste my time on people that can't do anything for me or men who are intimidated by the things that I can do? So I had a conversation with one of my homegirls, one of my white homegirls, and she said, this isn't nothing new in my house. She was like, my cousins, myself, she was like, we're taught to find a husband and how to find a husband and how to treat that man. And she said, a lot of my friends have gone to college just to find their husbands. If you are a watcher of Sex in the City, I like to watch that show because I get a different perspective on how black women and white women are. There are definitely some stark cultural differences. So the character Samantha Jones, a lot of people have called her a hoe, but she didn't give a damn. And, you know, to some white people, she had the hottest sex life, but she only had men in her circle that were of a certain value. Charlotte, on the other hand, too, she definitely dated strategically. How Charlotte acted in Sex in the City is not new. It is a new concept to black women because we're only taught to look for love. But Charlotte used business principles to find her a husband. So when I tell people that it's more than love for me, I'm dating with an objective, and now in my 30s, I'm very clear and I'm very honest. You're not the only person that I will be talking to. You know what I'm saying? Like, I am dating and I'm only, you know, surrounding myself with a certain type of man. It, like, we don't have time to play games. You know what I'm saying? Like, using my feminine energy and really coming into my own womanhood. The men that approached me were different because I started showing more confidence being in my own skin. So when you're confident and not needy, you start putting a different type of energy out in the world. And when you're, you know, thinking about the things that you're desiring while you're climaxing, like, I want to meet someone that's on my level, or I want to do whatever you're thinking about, you're putting that energy out in the world when you're feeling your most high. So the energy is going to deliver and bring that back to you. And thus the result for me have been high value dating. So I say all of that to say is, you know, what does the hypergamous woman look like? What are these relationships meaning to you? Is it jobs? Is it benefits? Is it love? What is it? But I definitely encourage you to do some more research on your own and really learn about hypergamy. And if you are someone who's out there that's single and, you know, you're kind of saying, like, I'm tired of dating, it's nothing but the same in the dating pool, and you're looking for something different, sometimes that change has to come from within you. And then you get that other part of the criticism where it's like, I shouldn't have to change myself. And sometimes change is good. Change is inevitable. Change forces us to be uncomfortable and grow. So I am going to impart that with you, but I definitely want you to tune in to the next episode because I have more on what relationships and dating look like for me in my 30s.